Thanks, Jim. Well, good evening. How's the TV hours coming along? Huh? Remember when you were young and TV just came out? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've got to be like just after Noah built the ark kind of thing. But remember those days. And believe it or not, for you younger people, there was life before TV. My daughter can't believe that I used to not have a TV in my house. She said, "Dad, what did you do all day and all night?" I said, "Hardy, I had plenty to do." But remember they used to broadcast the TV for 2 hours every night. I mean, can you imagine that? Only 2 hours every night, and alternate nights was a different language. Remember those nights? And we'd sit and watch TV, and then our parents would rant and rave that we're watching too much TV. You know, remember? "Bradley, turn that TV off. You've been watching for a whole hour." Huh? I watched a whole game for 2 hours yesterday. Imagine if I was still young. Anyway, yeah. I am still young, yeah. But I must tell you, this World Cup's done one thing for me. I've never watched so much soccer in my whole life. That I've watched. God is good, yes. I mean, isn't it amazing what something like this can do? And I must say, I'm enjoying it. I really am. I'm enjoying the soccer. And I wasn't really a fan before the World Cup. I must be honest, I wasn't really a soccer fan. You turn soccer on, I'd go to another channel. But I don't know, it was maybe those hair clips and the fake injuries that got me. I think that's what it was all about. Remember? But I don't know why they do hair clips. They have their hair blow waved anyway in the change room. Why have the hair clip? Yeah. And let me tell you, those fake injuries, TV slow motion has revealed all. The guy falls on the ground. I think, man, that was... Gee, that guy should get a red card. Then they show you slow motion. The guy didn't touch him. And he's on the ground. I think they hurt themselves more when they fall than they did from if the guy tripped him. But anyway, that's soccer. And World Cup fever is here, and I got it. Anyway, what can I say? But anyway, having said that, have we got any visitors here tonight with us? Any visitors? Put your hand up. Come, visitors. Oh, so wonderful to have you there at the back here in the front. Really is good to have you with us. You're not from another country, are you? Like, you South African. Oh, well done. If you have a look on one of our bulletins, you'll see there's a little slip at the bottom. We'd just like you to fill that out. And if you give that in there at the coffee bar, they'll give you a cappuccino. That's a good deal. Not so? Wonderful. Can I ask the service team who are on duty tonight to come take up the tithes and offerings? Would you mind coming up? And if you are visiting us with us tonight from another church, please remember your tithes go to your local church. And you know that we give because of a heart of generosity. That's why we give. It's not under compulsion. It's not in some formula. We give because we are generous people and we want the gospel to go out into the world. Amen? What's happening here? You're sitting down on the job. Come, let's go. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for all that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the generosity that you have revealed to us. And you're an example of generosity. And we give tonight, Father, as cheerful givers, that your gospel would go out and change people's lives. Amen? Amen. That they would be transformed. That's what the gospel does. Can you see I'm enjoying myself tonight? I decided. You know that when we preach the word, and as much as it applies to me, it applies to you too. You need to smile. No one wants to hear a gospel and you're grumpy. Amen? We've got to be happy people when we show the God, when we speak about the gospel to people. And where's Hazel? Hazel, I did see you. There she is. It's Hazel's last evening with us. She is relocating to Pretoria. And Hazel, I must tell you, I feel like my daughter's relocating. I really do. We're speaking to Hazel this afternoon. She's been here 15 years at Highway. She's like almost part of the furniture. And still young and beautiful. Amen. There we go. But Hazel, you have been an absolute blessing to us at Highway. You really have. And we're going to miss you. You know, we always say that, but when someone goes to another city, that city's fortunate to have you, and that we only send our best, and all that is true. But I do believe in this day that God is guiding and leading people to be influential in cities. I really do believe that. God is sending people out to go and make a difference in the city. And talk about influence. Esty and I were having coffee with Hazel one morning. And as you know, she works for the newspaper. So a good thing when you're having coffee is to talk about the news. And so we were chatting to Hazel about what gets printed. And she started to share with us what she started doing. She started taking all the good news in the newspaper and consolidating it into an email and sending the email out. And more people wanted the email. People want good news. Amen? And so Hazel, you are a gem. You are. And Pretoria is fortunate to have you. But I pray that you would be influential in that city. Influential in the company. Influential in the people that are going to work around you. And you know that there's a few things about Hazel you need to know. She's got this little giggle that's like infectious. She laughs and everyone just laughs around her. And those that do know her know that she's an absolute joy to be around. And Hazel, that will continue. That will continue into the place that you're going into. People will be drawn to you. And when they are drawn to you, you can smile and present them with the good news. Amen? So Father, we thank you for Hazel. I thank you, Lord, that where you're sending her, I prophesy, Lord, that she would be influential in that city, in the company that she's working for. I thank you, Father, that the people that would come across her path, that you would bring them across for a specific reason and purpose. And I pray, Father, that you would give her the words to speak to those people. She would not only be an encouragement, Lord, but she would be a lifter of their heads. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hazel, God bless you. And when you come down, there'll always be a seat for you. That I promise. Amen. Amen. Well, the other day I was reading through 2 Kings. And there's a wonderful account of how the prophet Elisha messes with the king of Syria. I mean, it's really a great story. You must read it in 2 Kings. He has this Syrian king, and he wants to go to war with Israel. And so he decides, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So he gets all his guys around, all his army chaps, and he says, right, we're going to attack them in this place. But what happens behind the scenes, God speaks to Elisha. Elisha goes to the king of Israel and says, you know what? Don't go there, because the Syrians will wait for you. And they're going to attack you. And so the king of Israel doesn't go there. And in fact, this happens so often that the king of Syria thinks there's an Israeli spy in his midst. Mossad is in the midst of Syria. And so he says to his guys, he says, listen, what is going on? So they say, no, it's the prophet Elisha. He says, what? They say, it's the prophet Elisha. He knows what you're thinking and saying. Go and read this in the Bible. It says there, Elisha knows what's going on in your bedroom. He goes, what? Find him and bring him to me. And so they do. The army goes out, says, oh boy, we better find Elisha. And so he's miffed. He's really miffed with Elisha because he can't attack Israel. And Elisha seems to know everything this oak is doing. So he sends his guys out. And eventually the guys find Elisha is in the city called Dothan. No, it's not Batman City, Gotham. It's Dothan. And so they say, okay, Elisha's in Dothan. And so what they do, the army, they're very sneaky. They go to Dothan in the night and they surround the city. And with their armies and their chariots. And so a good observation to be, Elisha, you didn't see that one coming, did you? Okay, you didn't get it, but you know what I mean. But wait, the story's not over. So in the morning now, Elisha's still sleeping in, and his servant decides better get him a cappuccino. And so he gets up and he goes outside. And then let's read you. This is what it says to 2 Kings verse 6, verse 15 and 16. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, this was Elisha's servant, and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, ha! 1,000 camel fleas, an Egyptian. No, he didn't say that. He said this, alas, my master, what shall we do? I don't think he said it in that way. I think he said, oh, nah. Goes back to Elisha. Listen what happens. You can see the movie. There's the servant. He looks up to the hills. He sees all Eric the Viking wannabes surrounding the city. Now he doesn't know what he's going to do. And so he points him out to Elisha. Like this, Elisha says this, you've got to read it. Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, you've got to see the picture. Can you imagine the servant's reaction? Elisha, you had too much mountain cabbage last night. But I love Elisha's response. O ye of little faith. No, he doesn't say that. He just says this. O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Can you imagine what that servant's thoughts were when the Lord opened his eyes to see what was there? Panic? Mm-mm. Hopelessness? No. I think he's transformed in an instant. In fact, I think he high-fived Elisha. He was transformed in an instant because he saw what God saw, not what man saw. Isn't it amazing that two people can look at the same thing and see two different things? If you've got teenage children, you'll know exactly what I mean. But one day, I needed something. So I phoned Heidi. And that's my daughter. And I phoned her because she was working. And you know what I can never understand? Why SMSs and email have replaced talking? If I want to contact someone, I phone them. And you know what? The two kids can sit next to each other on your couch in your lounge and they will text each other. They don't speak. I want to ask them, what is wrong with your tongue? They text each other. Tessa, she's sitting in her computer the one day. I'm sitting by mine. We are 1.5 meters apart. She sends me an email. I said to her, Tessa, why didn't you just talk to me? She said, Dad, email is much cooler. So anyway, I phone Heidi. I phone her. I say, Heidi, where's this thing? I need it. She says, Dad, it's on my desk. And so I walk upstairs into her room, but I couldn't get to the desk. And I never realized you can leave so much stuff on the floor. I really didn't realize it. But apparently you can, because there it was. And you know what? I thought the cupboard must be empty with all the stuff on the floor. I opened the cupboard by the door. It was full. Cupboard was full as well. And you, listen, you've got to believe me when I say I'm not a Jedi Knight. I can't go zick and the thing will come to my hand. Doesn't happen. I need to walk there and pick it up. And so anyway, I said, no. I'm not going to do this because I worried what I was going to step on in the room. Maybe my life would just go before me. And so I waited until she got home. So we went upstairs. I opened the door and I said, She looks confused. She says, what? I said, She said, what are you pointing at, Dad? I said, where's the carpet? We had wall to wall. I don't see a piece of carpet. I said, and by the way, where's the bed? She points to this mound of linen. I promise you, Jabba the Hutt was under that linen. She's still confused. She's looking at me like, huh? I said, Heidi, please don't let the dogs in here. Because they will disappear. I will call, they will bark, I'll never know where they are. I said to her, listen, by the way, did you see that movie District 9? Because this looks like one of those sets. She says, Dad, you're paranoid. Isn't it amazing? We can both look at the same thing. To her, it's normal. To me, I've just entered the twilight zone. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. I can still hear the music. But you know, the same applies to us as believers. Two believers, same circumstance, can see it differently. Because it's the eyes that we're seeing it with. You can look at a situation, you just see drooling Vikings. Someone else looks at the situation, all they see, chariots of fire. There's a title in a movie in there somewhere, but you know what I mean. John 16, Jesus speaks about this to his disciples, about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He
He says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, when we give our lives to the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us and in us, we are transformed by the truth. You are transformed when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. The truth of who you are in Christ, the truth of what God has to say about your circumstances and about you, and also the lies of the enemy. He'll come and He'll show you. He'll open your eyes. The Holy Spirit comes and we see things from God's view and God's perspective. We are transformed. And so the title, if you need a title for the message this evening, it's this, Seeing by the Spirit. Hopefully by the end of my message this evening, I've been able to convince you the Holy Spirit is very much alive and well indwelling you and me. He hasn't gone anywhere. And He's helping us to see. Not only who we are, but also our circumstances through the eyes of God. He'll strengthen us, He'll lead us, He'll guide us. And He'll reveal God's truth in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. You see, part of knowing who we are is knowing the Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we see things differently to somebody who does not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. I promise you. You can speak to an unbeliever about faith or about something you're trusting God for. They think you're nuts. They say, you're crazy. What do you mean? I say, well, God showed me. Are you insane? No, God showed me. Get two believers together. Oh boy, you'll change the world. Because we saw what God saw. I want to read from Acts 26 about Paul on the road to Damascus. He's blinded by Jesus. He's blind for 3 days. And Jesus says to Paul, He's going to send Paul to the Gentiles so that their eyes might be opened. Now that might seem silly because at that time Paul's eyes were completely closed. Listen to this. Acts 26:15-18. Jesus says this, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me." Imagine Paul standing there, he's blind, he hears Jesus telling him, "I'm going to send you to open the eyes of the Gentiles." You know what goes through his mind? I'm sure. I must open the eyes of the Gentiles, I can't see a thing. But then you can also, you go and you read on, Jesus is not talking about physical sight. He's talking about spiritual eyes. Opening their eyes spiritually. Paul's going to take a message to the Gentiles that's going to open their eyes and deliver them from darkness into light, from Satan to God. That message is the gospel. It sets people free. Free from lies and deceit to the enemy. John 8:32. Free from unrighteousness. Romans 5:17. Free from sin, no longer our master. Romans 6:7, 18, and 20. Free from the law. Romans 7:3. Free from bondage. Romans 8:21. Free from anxieties. 1 Corinthians 7:32. Free from the yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1. You know, in the instance of Elisha's servant and in the instance of Paul, being blinded, sight was given by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes, they have sight. We cannot see by our own effort. Paul could do what he wanted by himself. He could put matchsticks in his eyes. He could go to the optometrist. He will not see, would not see. God opened his eyes. That servant of Elisha could look and look and look. He could use binoculars. He could do the whole story. He would not have seen the other army and the chariots of fire without God opening his eyes. It's done by God, not by us. Not by self-effort. It's done by the grace of God. We will see with new eyes when the Holy Spirit comes and to dwell within us. You cannot force the Holy Spirit to come. Because it's a gift. And you cannot earn it, any sort of reward. Oh, I've done all these things, give me the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of God that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. in Acts 9:17, Ananias is told by the Lord to pray for Paul so that he can regain his sight. Listen to what he says. Luke says this. So Ananias entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. See, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on a person for a specific task or for a time. Once that was achieved, the Spirit of God would leave. And so, in the New Covenant, there's a promise that we are given. The Holy Spirit will come upon you when you believe in the work of Christ and He will never leave you. It's the promise that we're given. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Ephesians 1:13. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? When you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you and I believe in what Jesus did on the cross and salvation comes to us, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He comes and He dwells within us. Turn to Romans 8 verse 9. It says this, "You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that one is not His." Paul is speaking to believers in this epistle. He's telling believers, hey, you have the Spirit of God in you. And he's reassuring them of this gift. That's what he's doing. In this verse we see, number one, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Now, dwell is a strong word. The indwelling is a two-way matter. You see, we are in the Spirit and the Spirit is in us. So when we say the Spirit dwells in us, that dwell has a meaning of residence. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence within us. And so as a believer, you know, like a home, you live in a home, Holy Spirit comes and He lives in us. Three things in a home. One, familiarity. It speaks of closeness. When you live in a home, there is a familiarity in that home. And the Holy Spirit wants to be familiar and close to us. And then we speak of a permanent residence. Permanent residence doesn't mean visitor. He comes and He dwells permanently in us. It's a permanent residence. You know, when you are a visitor and a permanent residence is a huge difference. You know, sometimes we apply visitor status to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, that's not the truth. We apply it. God doesn't apply it. We apply visitor status. But He's there. He has permanent residence in us. And so we worry, oh, my behavior. Oh, give Him non-resident status. That's not the truth. The truth is He's got resident status no matter what you do. You believe on the work of Christ. You believe He died and rose again. Holy Spirit comes. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He takes up permanent residence. And someone who's familiar and permanent residence in a home also has freedom in that home. If you're a permanent resident and you're familiar in a home, there is a freedom that comes in that home. As a visitor in my home, you don't have freedom that a permanent resident would have. Try it. If you're a visitor in my home, you can't just come into my home, open the fridge, and drink my stony ginger beer. If you do, you'll get a wedgie you'll never forget. Why? You're a visitor. You don't have the same rights as a permanent resident. Heidi, who lives in my home, and Esther, who lives in our home, have different rights to someone visiting. Why? They're permanent residents. You know that your freedom has very strict boundaries in my home if you're a visitor. You can't just do what you want. And rights in my home are given very gently. You can do this and this and this if you're a visitor. But if you live there, man, you're going to have such a lekker time. You must try it one day. Come live in my home for 2 weeks. It's the best thing you'll ever do. You'll never go back to your own home. No, I'm joking. John 14:23. Ah, Zip's going to take me up. You'll get cappuccino first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Listen to this. John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Does that speak a little of permanent? We will make our home with him. Point number two, we have the Spirit. See, you've got to tell people, we have the Holy Spirit. We don't possess the Holy Spirit like something we can control. We have the Holy Spirit. And what it means is that He's faithful to us, even though sometimes our experience of Him may rise and fall. Sometimes that's not the truth. It's our experience of the Holy Spirit. It's not His of us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have His indwelling presence. He dwells within us 24/7. Doesn't take a holiday. He dwells 24/7 in you and in me. And Jesus has given His Holy Spirit to us to abide with us forever. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Jesus will ask the Father for another helper. He will be with you forever. It's one of the promises of the new covenant. Day and night, the Holy Spirit is reminding us who we are in Christ. Hey, Brad, you're a new creation. Holy Spirit reminding me. Hey, Brad, you're no longer a slave to sin. Hey, Brad, I will turn all things for good in your life. Brad, you are righteous in the eyes of God. Hey, Brad, have faith in my ways, because doing it my way is the better way. They will prosper you in every area of your life. Hey, Brad, I've got good news for you. Esty's going to buy you an Apple iPad. No, I'm joking. But He will remind you constantly of who you are in Christ. He will encourage you when you're down. He will be the lifter of your head. I love the verse from 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? One thing is very evident. We all have different sized temples, but we've got the same Holy Spirit. Amen? We all have different temples, but we are the temple that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in. But it's clear that the Holy Spirit, and it's true for every Christian, comes and dwells within us. We are in the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit. We have the Spirit. All ways of saying the same thing. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Him. He's always with us. And every blessing of the Holy Spirit begins with the fact that He is in us. Begins with that fact. And so I'm trusting this evening that there'll be no shadow of turning. That we are convinced, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, that the Holy Spirit is with us because we have believed, because we have faith in what Christ did on the cross and He was resurrected. You know, are those hills there looking like mountains? Who's your boss beginning to look like the Antichrist? You know that the Holy Spirit will come and say, no. You know why I've put you here? For that man. Or that woman. I want you to minister into their life. When you see with God's eyes, change your whole outlook. Really? I can put up with a bit of nonsense. Because you're beginning to see what God sees. Not, Lord, afflict him. Do something terrible to him. No, that's not the truth. The truth is, Lord, let me see with your eyes. Because it'll change the way that I react or respond to this man or this woman. This little hill. It is just a little hill. I can jump over this thing. No. Holy Spirit, come and reveal it to me. Show me. Show me what you see. It's not what we see. But we've got to be convinced that the Holy Spirit is there in the first place. And He is. And I hope I'll be able to convince you tonight. The Holy Spirit is within us. He dwells within us 24/7. And we're to rely on Him. Rely on Him. Allow Him the freedom to guide and lead us. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit is leading us. No, don't want to do that. Or, Holy Spirit, close your eyes. I've just got to do this quickly. No. No, Holy Spirit. What do you say?
Now, I heard this wonderful little story about listening to the voice of God. There was this little telephone system, and so you'd answer and say, "Hello, welcome to so-and-so." Press 1 repeatedly if you've got OCD, you know. If you have multiple personality disorder, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are a Christian, just wait for the small voice and we'll tell you what number to press. But you know, the truth is that God does speak to us. He does. God does speak to us by His Spirit. And He does guide us by His Spirit. We've just got to listen. Amen? Earlier on, Jimmy came up to me before I came up to preach. And he said, "Brad, I really have a sense that tonight that the Lord is wanting to do something." Some people that... Jimmy, you come and say it best. I'm just repeating what you said. Where's that microphone? And I really felt it was a good word from the Lord. It was just, "Yes, Lord, we're going to do that." You want to explain it? Yeah. Where's the musicians? Can you come up and play a little... Thank you, Trev.
I just really felt that that a lot of us are thirsty and Amen. Hungry for more of God. And while the Scriptures minister to us in the way that we relate to God, in the way that the preaching has brought us into a place of just enjoying Him more, I don't know about you, but I really want to receive. And I just made some notes here. There's the taste and see that God is good. It's an experiential thing. It's not just a head knowledge thing. It's something that we can actually have our senses touched in our situations where we are to say, "Lord, minister to me." And I think God wants to touch His kids. I've got my youngest son. He doesn't like kissing me. He loves kissing his mom, and I think it's a good thing that. But every now and again, when I take him to the toilet late at night, I'll sneak a little on his, and that's when he's completely at rest, and he's just saying, "Lord, you know." Well, that's what I'm identifying with, the saying, "Lord, when I'm at rest, you can come and kiss me." When I'm just stop running around and preoccupied with so many things that are clouding my mind, and I've got things to do, and I'm running here, and I've got this tomorrow, next day, that we just come into a place of rest, and God just kisses us, and He enjoys us. And I really want us to just kind of come into a place of just saying, "God, touch us." And there's two things, Brad. I don't know if this is something that you felt was for people to see what God sees. That scripture of Elisha, it says that the whole mountain was filled with chariots of fire around Elisha. And I really feel that that the Holy Spirit wants to show you what is around you, what is in you. The scripture has been seen. That, "Lord, give me eyes to see what you see about how I look in the spiritual realm, how you relate to me, how beautiful I am now that you've made me a new creation in Christ Jesus." And I also felt that people, just for some prophetic words, some time of ministry. And so let's, I don't know if you should stand and just stand.
Just as we started worshiping, I had a picture of a valley, and I've heard quite a few people hitting some valleys recently. And I don't know who's seen iRobot. I saw that a few weeks ago and really didn't make much sense to me, but I saw this valley of what looked like robots just standing there. I had no idea what was going to be preached, so I was kind of like, when he started talking about seeing an army, I was like, "Well, that's interesting," because this valley was full. And they were just standing, they were just waiting. And I was like, "Okay, so like, what does that mean?" And as Brad spoke, I've been through a couple of months where I've been saying, "God, I cannot hear you. I'm asking you, come and talk to me, show me what it is you want. I'm not enjoying this valley." And I think quite often when you hit valley, you don't stop to think and say, "God, what is it you're telling me?" Because you stop to tell God what you feel, which is not a bad thing. But sometimes you need to shut up long enough. Once you've asked God the question, "What is the purpose and what do you want me to do?" to say, "Show me what you want. Show me whether you want me to lead this valley of robots, whether you want me to lead people up on that hill waving a flag, showing the way that I should be walking." And where you've lost faith and you've lost hope and it seems like God's not showing you, stop and ask Him to give you the eyes to see.
Holy Spirit, we want to just submit ourselves to you right now. And Lord, have your way right now. Not that we could ever limit you, Lord. You are God. You are 100% God, Holy Spirit, and we recognize that you are our helper. You help us with our weaknesses. You help us with our infirmities. That you are the great counselor, and there is so much we want to know about you. Come and open up our eyes, Lord, for those people that need to see who they really are. Lord, that you have made us into a new creation, Lord, that more than Elisha could have ever hoped for, chariots of fire running around him, Lord, you have given us authority far above that. Far above that, Lord, that we are not like this waves of the sea tossed to and fro, Lord, but we are here in this earth to exercise authority, to heal the sick, to drive out demons, to proclaim good news to the captives. I pray, Lord, for scales to come off our eyes, Lord, right now. Let us see things like you see them. We open up our hearts wide for you to come, Lord, and just let your living water flow over our soul. Flow over our soul. Wash us, Lord, because we're going into another week, Lord, and your word is true, that you have new mercies every single day. But, Lord, we want to see things this week with the eyes that you have. We want to see opportunities before they happen. We want to prophesy them into being, Lord. We want to be empowered. And not feel, for people that feel like they're on the back foot, Lord, that they're always playing second fiddle to something else of circumstances in their life, Lord, would you just come and show them that you have gone before us in advance, you've prepared good things in advance, and you've empowered us right now to do those things. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Just our speaking in the sermon, just those things that we the Holy Spirit comes to free us from, is that we are free from the lies and the deceit of the enemy. And that once kind of popped out for me, that sometimes the enemy would lie to you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that if there are people here this evening, Lord, where the enemy has lied to them about who they are and their circumstances, about what the future holds, even about their past, Lord, I pray, Father, right now, by your Spirit, Lord, that they would be released in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Release them in Jesus' name, we ask. Lord, those things that have held them captive, we pray, Father, that they be released in Jesus' name. No longer slave to the lies of the enemy. Oh, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has come to set us free. Pray, Father, that where the enemy has lied and people are in bondage, they feel like their chains are around their feet. I pray, Father, right now you come and break those chains, that they could walk in freedom. In Jesus' name. I really feel to pray for guys that are in their own businesses right now, where this recession has come and people have said, oh, this is going to go on for years. You better tighten your belt. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. I pray, Lord, that you would come to the business people in this church. That, Father, you would open their eyes to opportunities that are surrounding them. I pray, Father, that they would see with your eyes. Oh, Lord, I pray you would give them new ideas. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, that they would be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. That even their thinking, Lord, would be transformed. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, there will be testimony about release in this church. But Lord, we recognize it's from you. It is not our clever thinking, but Father, it is your guiding and your leading by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to add on to that. Anyone here that we've been preaching last year, Dead Free by 2010, and I went into someone's home just recently and I saw they still had this thing up, still holding this thing up, and that thing of being free from bondage, if there's a financial bondage in your life, I just, as a sign of just kind of like saying, Lord, hey, this is me. I've got faith for you tonight. I have faith for you tonight. Because God is not wanting to have you limited by your decision, the decisions that you can and can't make because of financial restraint. Raise your hand to Him. 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 Lord, you know every single person, Lord, that is crying out to be debt free. Lord, the enemy will come and say it's because of your lifestyle that you've got yourself into this place, because of your inability to spend wisely. You've been disqualified for some reason. Lord, there are many reasons we recognize what have brought us to this place. But from this place on, you set us free. You've taken care, Lord, of us in our spiritual life, Lord. You have made us into a new creation. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. Lord, we speak for our financial situation. Lord, we don't want to live with poor decision makings again in our lives. But Lord, we desperately want to come free. So Lord, people that are battling, Lord, that have got debt upon debt upon debt in their lives, and their decisions are being cornered of where they can go, what they should do, how they can live. Lord, would you come and break through? Let there be testimony upon testimony upon testimony of your goodness over their lives. Lord, we speak financial freedom over them. Lord, you have given us the position and authority to take control over these things. So Lord, people that have been coming through time and time again saying, Lord, please, we say tonight, Lord, from tonight, let tomorrow there be phone calls, there be checks in the post, there be things that have happened that supernaturally takes them and catapults them as though they were never ever in debt, ever was. And Lord, let them be in a place to be able to sow and live free and to be able to go into a place, Lord, where their decisions and opportunities will just open up. We speak this in Jesus' name.
Church, I just really feel there's people here that tonight that need healing from being hurt by the church. Like, I kind of feel that someone's gone through something with the church, and they've been really hurt. Like, they've been burned by a religious system, but they've been hurt by people in the church, that they had to leave the church and come to another safe place. I really feel God wants to do some work tonight. That's you. Don't you want to come on front? Everybody, it's just like I just want to pray with you. So if that is you or you guys, come in front, because God wants to heal you. He wants you to love His church like He loves the bride. That's just who He is. So if that is you, just want to come and just step out in boldness and let me pray with you and just trust God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is a spirit of peace that would come upon us, Lord. Oh Lord, that where we worry and have anxieties, we pray, Father, that your spirit of peace, Lord, would just rise up within us. Oh, we pray for a release from anxiety over your people in Jesus' name.
A while back, I was dancing for the Lord, and He showed me the streets of Jerusalem, and then He showed me the lampstand, the seven lampstands, and I couldn't understand why He was showing me the seven lampstands. And it was the 21st of April, and then in May I was watching TBN, Joseph Prince was on, and he was saying that he saw the seven lampstands and explained it just like I saw it. But from there are seven pipes, and if you read Zechariah 4, you'll see that those seven pipes are made of gold. And they're pliable. And those pipes come down to you are God's blessings. But as soon as you worry and take your eyes off Jesus, those pipes twist and the blessing is stopped. That is why you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus all the time. In your circumstances, don't look at it. Look at Jesus, because when you look at Jesus, those pipes are opened and your blessing comes through and your anointing comes through, and He just wants to anoint all of you. He's got those blessings. He showed me tonight that He has made a pathway for you continually. He's so jealous of you. He showed me that the angels from here to wherever are lined up, and your row is you walking through that protection. So please just put your eyes on the Lord, and He's got the protection for you.
I just felt there's some people here that might be lacking an identity in God. Just also hungry for a purpose in God's kingdom. And if there is any of you that are lacking a purpose and are really hunting for a purpose in God, come to the front. I'd like to pray for you.
I just feel like there's some people that have gone almost like a drought of having been surprised by God. And I really felt that God's wanting to have the words that came to mind was a blind-sided surprise. That this week you're going to come across something, you're going to be hoping, trusting, looking for stuff, and you feel like there's been nothing that's kind of just made you feel like, God, wow, what a lovely, lovely, lovely surprise. What an absolute blessing. I really wasn't expecting this, but just this is just a confirmation for me, Lord, of how you care for me and long for me, and just for me to enjoy you in your presence. So if you've gone almost like a drought, and you know that God used to often send you like little surprises. For some people it might mean a promotion. For some people it might mean a little gift. For some people it might mean a restoration of relationships. Whatever it might be, if you've been wrestling with God, I felt like there was a good couple of people here that are wrestling, saying, Lord, I would love to be blindsided by one of your surprises. That just again, raise your hands, just kind of identifying, saying, Holy Spirit, I want that word. And when you lift up your hands, it's not a case of listening to what the guy up front saying to do, but I just see people reaching up into heaven and grabbing these words. As prophetic words come, you lift up your hands, you come saying, Lord, I want that for me. And there's faith that stirred, there's faith that comes and says, I want that for my life. So Lord, for people, Lord, that haven't seen you move, that have brought a smile to their face, Lord, because we don't want to fake smiles. We want a joy to be within us. And Lord, while there is a joy of eternal salvation, and this relationship that we have with you is so intimate and so personal, Lord, I pray, Lord, for blindsided surprise, Lord, just things of this, while of our existence, Lord, that would just put a smile on our face. It would give us testimony to say to more and more people of how good and how amazing our God is. And Lord, I pray for every person's hand that's up, Lord, that this week would be an unbelievable week. Lord, that they would meet people that they have hoped to meet. Lord, I just feel like someone's going to come across someone of almost like a personality status. You'll be walking around, and I just, this picture keeps coming to mind of people just in the stands today at one of the games, just seeing Sir Mick Jagger. And it could be just nobody that you've hoped to see or wanted to see even, but just like, wow, look, I had an opportunity this week that was so not even on my radar whatsoever. So Lord, Lord, I pray surprises for us this week.
Yeah, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your Spirit not only brings us peace, but brings us joy. And Father, we just know that you are smiling upon us right now. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, we have your Spirit dwelling within us. Oh, Lord, we pray this week that you open our eyes. That, Father, that we would see things as you do. We thank you, Lord, this week. This week, Father, we would see things as you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for coming this evening. There is butternut soup and cappuccinos and coffee. Have a blessed week. Amen. Amen.